Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Spira Radio, the dog edition. You're hearing Sadie in the background, and this is Albert. And, yes, oh, I did. By the way, that's Marty over there. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Albert. Hi, Dora. And that's Sadie in the background, letting you know that she wants to participate too.
Well, and that is a very good thing because today's show is all about the pets.
Yes.
Yes. Marty, you've been coming to Spira since we opened, and I know we always shared a bond because of our little creatures.
Yes. And I was thinking the other day how much I miss when I was a lot less busy and you had just opened. I so much missed being able to, after class, and of course, Dora, you taught almost every class in those days. And after class, we would be able to sit out front with the doggies and just talk about so many fun things. And I really missed that. Yeah. It was just a very special point. So,
well, thank you. Well, Marty, as a lifelong student of Spira and also a pet lover, it's just, I've learned about the phase two of your life. You know how people say that we have an act one and then we have an act two.
And a three and a four and a five.
Yes. And maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, you started a very, very strongly being involved in Donnie's co-pet clinic as your act two of your life. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, it's Donnie Co-Pet Clinic, and it's Donnie for Dr. Bud Donnie, and Co is Dr. Stan Co. So that's how it got its kind of unusual name for a pet clinic. We offer veterinarian care to people that are experiencing homelessness or suffering from the effects of low income for their pets. As we both know, as pet lovers, that vet care can be really, really expensive. And we believe at the clinic that it is so important for that human-animal bond and that companionship that pets deserve, animals deserve the vet care, no matter what their family's income situation is.
Yeah.
So yes, I got involved, believe it or not, it was now, we're going on my fourth year, and the organization, I started volunteering with Donnie Co-Pet Clinic, and then I immediately went, not immediately, after about 9 months, I went from volunteer to board president and kind of executive director. It was a speedy
quite
path.
A jump. Yeah.
And it's been such a rewarding 4 years, a lot, very stressful in ways because I, you know, you can take the AAA job away from the person, but you can't take the AAA out of the person.
Yeah.
And after spending 30 years in corporate America, I wanted something that I could build and, you know, not have bureaucracy and too many meetings.
How did that work out?
It's actually working out well, okay. Although now that we've actually have some part-time employees, they're contractors, 1099s, and it is easy because we just made some major changes in that we have a licensed vet tech who is in charge of all the vet operations is a part-time job, and then we have operations program manager, fancy titles for part-time jobs. And then we just hired an interim executive director, which is going to take so much off of me because you need to pay people for accountability.
Yeah.
You can't, it's very hard to run an organization at 100% volunteers because there isn't that accountability because volunteers get to do what volunteers want to do. Rightfully so. They're giving their time. And that's the way it should be.
I'm a little bit just, I want to backtrack for a second because you mentioned something that I think a lot of listeners could relate to is that you come from 30 years of corporate work, right? So
we
all know what that's like, the stress of corporate work, and then you exited. So did you have how did you seek out this organization? Was it the just serendipity that you bump into them, or did you have a clear sight of like, this is what I want to do and when to look for it?
I had been very, and I go to so much of what I was able to gain from Spirit power yoga and from you, Dora, is that to open my mind to opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I spent the several years where I was retired from making money, trying to learn about nonprofits and trying to learn different things and trying to learn about myself too. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I found that I really was upset about is that many nonprofits nonprofit is a tax status.
Yeah.
And it is, many people are trying to help the community, but then they never experience the community that the people that they're trying to help. And I think that it's very important before you offer services to people or think you know what the services are that they need, that you also know the people, mm-hmm. That are accessing the services. So this was very serendipity. I started volunteering at the clinic because I love pets, as you know. And I wanted to help these pets. And as far as people experiencing homelessness, I have to say that right now is that I never thought I would go work for an organization. And there's quite a complex and very advanced industrial nonprofit complex serving homeless people. But I would always just have this pang when I would drive by. It would just, my heart would kind of tighten up and I would be like, oh, well, I don't know what to do. So this came along, and then the organization was providing vet care twice a month. The clinics were running, the people were showing up, but there were a lot of issues in the business side of it, because any organization needs the business side of it. And I don't know if you're familiar, you've probably heard that Washington State alumni we call them rabid cats. They're very, very dedicated. And Dr. Ko was a Washington State University alumni, as was Paul, mm-hmm. as is Paul. So it came a time where they needed some help, and he was talking to Paul, and he said, but who would do all the work if we made these changes? And Paul came out and talked to me, and I'm like, I'll do it. It's a great project. And I go back to when I started, I can't believe Spira is almost 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's coming up really quickly. And I just go back to how my mind was really opened up just to be more accepting. And I think I've always tried to be, you know, really accepted. I value tolerance and I value accepting people. I think it's really important in life. And I just, you know, coming there really helped open my mind to a lot of serendipity opportunities, maybe to become more opportunistic. And one of the things I really don't value is bureaucracy.
Yeah.
I see that it gets in the way, and from so many things. And I know you know from being in the corporate world that
just gets tied up in pride. And, you know, I always joke that Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice just plays out in any scenario, you know.
Well, it's so interesting because there's so many, you know, corporations, they're all good people. I mean, if you're working with great people, at least yeah. I usually have always done that. But it's just the natural evolution, it seems, that the organization, and I don't think it matters what organization it is, when it gets to be a certain size, it does start to go into itself and it starts to serve itself, not what its mission is. Yeah. And I find it's easy. It's easy now that I have more people. Everybody wants to be on the same call.
Yeah.
With, let's say we do a lot of partnering with Seattle Animal Shelter and Seattle Humane. And there's so many other programs that do similar things to what we do. And we partner to try to get the best out of mm-hmm. each organization. And the group calls can turn into, you know, a huge group think meeting, which isn't that productive.
Yeah.
So I think it's easy to have happen with any organization, but it's something that I'm really intent on keeping our organization small and mighty.
Yeah, I know when I love Small and Mighty as well. And one of the things that I do within Spira as a team is that if you're going to bring a problem to a meeting, bring at least one solution. Yes. If you have no solution, if this is just the problem that you want to, I don't want to hear it, you know? So
that's really hard. It's a good, very good.
Yeah, because a lot of the times, you know, we like to, the human brain, as I teach it at Spira as well, it migrates towards the negative because it was important to run away from the bear when we were evolving. But because we love the negative so much, we just sometimes love to just share the problems. But really, the solution is not always something we want to work on. So I always say, it's like, yeah, sure, bring the problem as long as you also bring a solution. Otherwise, zip it.
And one of the things I always try to do is I always ask for everything and ask for everything that we're about to undertake is this going to directly benefit the animal that needs care? And if it isn't, we shouldn't be doing it.
I am. And I think that animal-human connection is so important. I do believe that animals heal. I think.
I agree. Yes.
We have these ancient connections, especially with dogs and cats, right? They're one of the first animals that got domesticated, and we really co-evolved our human psychology with them. And I think I've seen it in numerous times with, you know, people who are struggling and going through depression, how much an animal can help them get through that difficult time in their lives. Do you see that in your organization, that when you're giving help to animals, you're also somehow healing and maybe even giving an opportunity for a new life for people experiencing difficulty?
Absolutely. One of the things that has been so amazing for me to learn about and to see, first of all the people that we're dealing with, it's only because they're people just like you and I, and they have had different experiences. They may have made a couple different choices, and there is that element of, you know, timing for things. When you make a bad choice, is it going to set you back? And those things. And they're people just like we are, with the same emotions and the same feelings. And many times they are, all of the times, they're living in a very, very difficult situation, and they are trying to survive. And the animals provide them, their pets, their cats and their dogs, provide them a reason to keep going. That human animal bond is, as you mentioned, is something I don't even know how to describe it. It's just so special. And truly, animals are probably, I mean, they give us that unconditional love for their whole entire lives. They give us that unconditional love. And they're such resilient creatures. I think they can teach us so much. And yes, many, many of our clients, the pet is what keeps them going. It's what keeps them sober.
Yeah.
It's what keeps
them. Having that responsibility. I think we need to be held responsible to someone in our life in order to make our life meaningful, right?
Yes.
So sometimes that pet is that thing.
Yes, absolutely. And they will, our clients will take such good care of their pets. And they really, it's very important. This is their bond. This is their family.
Yeah.
It is their family. And it's so important. I think it makes them a better member of society. And, you know, that because they do have that responsibility, and it helps with their self-efficacy.
Yeah.
And also, who isn't better off without that love of an animal?
Yeah.
And we do support spay and neuter. It is one of our criteria that to be a client with DoniCo Pet Clinic, you need to have your animal spayed or neutered. We will help you and get you the services at no cost. But there are too many unwanted animals in the world. And so many are killed still each year. Not as many in Washington, but throughout the Western US, so many are killed.
Yeah.
Because there are too many. So we do support that. And we won't, if somebody comes in, their pet is not spayed or neutered, we will take care of the pet. The pet is always, we will take care of them. And then we will work with them to get the spay or neuter. We are trying to, you know, cut down. We want to see the number of breeding operations and puppy mills and things like that, where people are using the pets for things that they're sentient beings. They shouldn't be traded or bartered.
Yeah.
They should be loved.
Exactly. And it's really this chain of responsibility and love that connects us, right? So you make a little difference with a pet, and now that pet owner feels responsible to sustaining a beautiful life. And that gives the inspiration to kick a bad habit, start new ones, so forth. So I really do feel that, just like with yoga, the only thing that makes the world a better place is those butterfly effects. It's never a big organization. I do believe that true change comes from being touched by another being. It's intimate.
Agreed.
It's small, and it's that butterfly effect that really does change the world in a better way. Now, that being said, we talked so much about the difficulty with large organizations and bureaucracy, and the need for personal responsibility and being able to touch people personally. How do you, as a manager of this organization, how do you see the future direction of how do you grow an organization without losing the small, effective unit?
That is a great question, and probably if I had a really good answer for it, that a good proven answer, I probably wouldn't be sitting here on the phone right now. I'd probably be, you know, somewhere. But I think it's very, very difficult, because as an organization, you work together with people.
Yeah.
And you work together with people that are probably like you, because you have a lot in common with them, because that's why you hired them, because they could attach to your vision really quickly. And that's why I think so many corporations and diversity has been such a problem and such a challenge, is that in organizations, we all like to be around people that think like us.
And it doesn't make us grow.
It does not make us grow. And so you know, the people that I have brought in to help on a part-time basis were not diverse. I did the same thing as everybody else did. I brought people that tend to think like me. They live in West Seattle.
Well, that's because, you know, it's so difficult. It's just our bubble, right? So who do you know? Who has the educational background of it? Who is available with free time to do this? I mean, it actually limits the choices, right?
Right.
But I think small works, and it brings me back to, you know, yoga and how I run my studios. And I was under so much pressure, especially before COVID, of Dora, why don't you take it bigger? Because your ideas are clearly very popular. You're a powerful leader, so forth and so on. Grow, 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 grow. And when you're a business owner and you're successful, there's this pressure on you to grow, right? And I did grow to a certain degree. I opened up a second location, and I right away felt that for what is really important and to actually give the quality for which I am so popular for, I must remain small. Something happens when you go big and corporate that you start reducing the human factor. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe what can be done is to enable people to start their own churches, synagogues, whatever you want to call it, pet clinics, yoga studios, but not try to grow it. Just let someone else do it somewhere else. You know, franchises could work to a certain degree, and maybe that could be actually one solution for your pet clinic, is that there has to be these multiple small units that occasionally come together because they have a common vision, but they are not connected financially and in a bureaucracy, because every geography has its own issues, right?
Yes.
So once you're trying to solve everybody's problem in the United States, you actually end up doing nothing, because every zip code has a different problem.
Yes, so absolutely.
Local advocates, and then just a vision that is the same, right?
Right. And one of the things that we look at doing is, because I agree with you, and I think there is that, I think we all, as business people, as people that are passionate about what we do, we want it to be more. That's what we do. We want more. But, you know, that's the American way to want more, more, more. So it's really harder. It's been harder to say, this is enough. This is what we are going to do. And we are going to do it well. And that's, for 3 years, I've worked on things like getting insurance, making sure that our nonprofit forms are all filed. There's a lot of state requirements and IRS requirements that they're all filed, and that all bills are paid immediately. They were dragging out for a little while, but we're dealing with other small businesses.
Yeah.
Our partnerships are solid and they're mutually beneficial. So a veterinarian clinic that we partner with veterinarian clinics for when we have to offer critical care, that is not something that can happen at our pop-up clinics that are twice a month. So that is where most of our donations go. The vast majority of our donations go to pay the vet bills to West Seattle Animal Hospital, to hopefully not Blue Pearl too often, because that means it's critical, but we partner with Rainier Animal Hospital and Beach Veterinarian Clinic and all these different, Elliott Bay, all these different clinics that are around. And then they give us a nonprofit discount.
Yeah.
So, and the vet business is really challenging right now. COVID has been so hard for them, as it has for so many. It's just been so many small businesses. Yes.
Yeah. Yoga being definitely one of them.
Yes, I think it's been very unique. And I think that's why we're talking about how beneficial small is. But one of the big challenges is that big gets economies of scale, and there's that pressure.
Well, and COVID is really wiping out small. So it's favoring the bigger organizations, mm-hmm. right? The bigger organizations, the more power you have online. So really the strategy that worked so well to keep my business, Spira, going as a high quality yoga teaching school, was that I stayed away from all the superficial online stuff that kind of can get you more exposure. Honestly, I have no interest in it. Yeah, I have no interest in trying to teach just poses. I have no interest in making things short and easy to digest. That is not, I think, what really is. So it's interesting that everything is moving online. Large corporations do better. Large corporations can give discounts and so forth, right? So now the small is struggling. And the big question is, like, could we as a community support small? So both in a yoga studio, coming back and maybe purchasing more online and in-studio services from Spira to allow for quality to survive. How does that reflect in your pet clinic? So you're also saying that you guys were hit pretty hard and the vet community was hit pretty hard. What could we do? What could we, the big, you know, people who are listening, what could they do to help you out?
Well, one of the things is that, you know, what happened with COVID, and I could talk forever about Donico Pet Clinic, so you may have to stop me at some point when you have to go through something
Let's
else.
Let's just talk about how to help you guys right now.
Okay, so one of the things is with COVID-19, we used to offer food and supplies, and we don't do that anymore. And the reason we don't do that is because there is a large organization, King County Regional Animal Services, has a whole pet food distribution system where they get it out to the food banks where people go to get food. They can also get pet food. So we don't need to do that, where we didn't have a way to store the food. We didn't do it well. So we gave that up, and during COVID, we couldn't get it to people. We also used to accept medications and supplies. Well, since COVID, we've really cut that back. So we don't accept in-kind donations anymore, which is difficult because so many people, when they have a beloved pet that passes away, they do want to give us leftover medicine, leftover things, because they feel like it is helping another pet, which it is, but we're just not, we don't have the resources. So it's being smart enough to realize that we were spending too much time from
organizing that.
Yes. So now I find it in kind resources, you know, financial is what we need, but also if anybody knows of any, we need a place to hold our clinics twice a month. Mm-hmm. So if anybody knows of an empty warehouse in centrally located Seattle that's not used on Saturdays, something like that. Right now we are going to Trupanion in the summer months, and we use their parking lot. They have a huge parking lot in Georgetown, and it's the most beautiful parking lot I've ever seen. And we wouldn't have been able to open up post-COVID if we had not had that offer of their parking lot.
Yeah.
And so those are the creative ideas that, you know, people in your audience, and you have a very creative audience. You do, just by nature of.
Well, you know, I just realized while you were talking of, you know, how that these are clothing depositories and book depositories. Did you guys think about that for the, because I think about leftover medicine and leftover stuff is also recycling. That's good for our planet. So it's not going into places where, especially medicine, that it could possibly hurt. Did you guys think about just having a few boxes that are distributed in town? Yeah.
Yes, we did. And we have various drop boxes. One of the issues became that, well, first of all, the pets that are coming in to see us are ill or have an issue, have a health issue. And we want to make sure that we are giving them the cure. So we do believe that we should be giving them medicine that we know where it came from. We know that it came from the manufacturer, and it is absolutely safe and it is not expired. Yeah. Because every medicine has, and then, you know, back to small and what you can't do, is to take donated medicine. We have inventory is so important. And we found this out the hard way when we would have all this medicine that we didn't use. And, you know, we keep our overhead very low, so we don't have temperature controlled storage for it. And so we had to go clean out our limited storage of the medicine. We found a bottle of medicine that was 20 years old. Which we took a picture of, and it was at that point that, you know, so every,
it's complicated.
Yes, every action has a consequence and an unintended consequence. So the intended consequence when we take the medication is that we save the money from purchasing medication that, you know, our clients and people outside our community can help us by providing medicine that they can't use because something happened to their beloved pet.
Yeah.
And, but then the consequence is that our resources, our human resources would be going to clean out and monitor inventories. And we weren't absolutely sure that the medicine that we were providing to the animals when they were ill was absolutely fresh, perfect, and
labeled correctly as well.
Labeled correctly. So
I know sometimes people combine boxes, like a lot of weird things happen at home. And as you were talking, I'm like, yeah, this is a little more complicated than I first thought.
It is. So many things are more complicated than
it's amazing once you, I could talk forever as well, because I just love these little four-legged creatures. And I think they serve a very, very important part in our healing process, which is why before COVID, I had my dogs with me at the studio all the time. I think half the time people came to yoga for the dogs, not for the yoga.
Oh, I agree. If, you know, if you wanted to, if you said, oh, I don't feel like doing yoga today, but I do feel like seeing Pawnee and Albert.
Yeah, so exactly. Who doesn't want to see Pawnee and Albert, right?
Yes.
It's so funny. One of my students just came back. He just received his second vaccine and he was so happy to be back. And the first thing out of his mouth wasn't that, oh my God, Dora, so good to see you. It was, Where are the dogs? Are the dogs still okay?
And it's interesting. They say, you know, our clients spend a lot of time with their pets. Yeah. And there have been studies done that show, you know, because many people feel that they say, well, why should a person that can't take care of themselves also have a pet? And because it makes them, it makes it easier and more likely they will take care of themselves. Yeah. And the animals are also the animal, a pet of someone that is homeless or is unemployed, and they are around that pet all day, is very happy. Yeah. The animals that come to our clinic are so well socialized for the most part. We get a few, you know, that act like my dogs, but the animals are very, the pets are so well socialized because they are around people. They're with their human all the time, and not a lot faces them as much as, I think at the beginning we heard Sadie barking at something. Yeah. And the pets that we see at the clinic don't do that. They're very well socialized.
So this idea that these pets, and maybe that would be a good closing question as well. But you know, one of the things that could be in someone's mind is like, well, people experiencing homelessness cannot take care of these pets. Are they struggling? Are they suffering? Is it fair for them to give this pet back to them to basically have a bad faith? So basically you're dispelling this idea from the public, and you're saying that these pets for the most part do well. And have you ever encountered a situation where maybe due to very bad drug use and so forth, you did have to take pet away from someone?
Well, at Donegal Pet Clinic, we, that is not what we do. We do not take pets. We're just, number one, we're not, it's not our mission. Our mission is to keep the animal with the human and have them live a healthy and loved life. There are those occasions everywhere, you know, with people that aren't experiencing homelessness and are very wealthy that are, you know, you, people that lock their pet in a crate for 10 hours.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of that. And when we do see, we're getting more and more into the behavioral, working with behavioral, that's how we see our growth, is that we're adding more services to help people become, our clients become better to their animals with behavioral and teach them how to be positive. Just, it's in many ways, it's like having your own 2-year-old.
Oh yeah. And when I took my dogs to the training clinics, you know, the dog training clinics, the trainer is always laughing. He's like, look, this should be renamed. We train the humans. The pet is just fine. You need to train the humans on behavior. The rest is all good.
And we work with different organizations in the city. And there have been a couple times where I have directly called animal control and reported something, and then, you know, they will investigate, and they do a very thorough investigation. It's nothing is, you know, you don't need to worry that animal control will ever take away an animal unless it is a very dire situation.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes as pet lovers and animal lovers, we would like to see them move quicker, but they are very, very clear on what they are supposed to do. And they definitely give people the benefit of the doubt. So, but yes, it's we see, I think we all see that animals aren't treated as they should be in various parts of our city and parts of our life. And that is something that we're starting to work on to try to improve that, to give people the tools.
Yeah.
So they can, their animal can be a better partner to them and will also be happier.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Marty, for dispelling some of the assumptions we might have had about what it looks like when somebody experiencing homelessness is a pet owner. I think that's an important message to get out, because that's the first message to helping your mission as well succeed.
Yes.
I will have a little blurb on your Plet Clinic. So if people want to get in touch with you, they can. And thank you so much for being on our show. And also thank you for making Spira really your home for the past 10 years and
yes.
part of my community.
Well, and to all my fellow yogis out there, I can't wait to see you again. I'm so excited to come back. I just miss everyone so much. I see someone in the neighborhood once in a while, but yes, I miss being able to come and see my community in the yoga studios. So thank you. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about DonyCo Pet Clinic, because I could keep talking, but you're going to
No, so I'm cutting you off.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marty.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.